This morning we're reading from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You may be seated.
I invite you to once again bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts to reflect upon that word. Well, Father, again this morning, we thank you for this time. We praise you for the opportunity we have each week to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as believers in you, and also as people who fully trust the word that you have given us, to listen as you speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts today to receive this message, and not only to receive it, not only to hear it today and forget it as soon as we go home, but that it would truly work its way into our heart and impact our lives going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I was preparing this sermon, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, this would have been a really good one for last week as we were recognizing our graduates, but the Lord didn't give it to me last week. He gave it to me this week, so it's for this week. But even so, it's a good message for all of us to reflect upon today. And I say that because as believers, I think it's pretty safe to assume that we've all gone through periods of questioning in life. And when I say this, please don't misunderstand me. I don't necessarily mean that you have reached the point of skepticism. I don't mean that you have gotten to the place where you no longer believe anything that you have been taught. While this might be true for some, while some people might actually get to that point in their life, this isn't true for everyone who struggles from time to time. But what I mean is simply that we're confused. We're at a place in life where we have begun to question some of the things that we have been taught. And we begin to question them because for some reason they just don't seem to add up. They don't seem to make sense anymore. And so although we haven't given up on them, we begin to wonder if they're true. We begin to wonder if perhaps some of these things that we have learned could be wrong. And so even though we haven't turned our back in God, even though we haven't lost faith in Jesus, we're struggling. And of course, there's different levels of struggling. You know, some might be struggling a little. Some might be holding on with their fingernails. They may have gotten to the point where their faith seems like an all or nothing proposition, and they simply don't know on which side they're going to end up falling. Now, speaking for myself, I've had some of these experiences at different points in life. It's happened to me as I've studied Scripture and as I've confronted some difficult truths that I needed to work through. It happened to me one point in college where I thought I had direction from the Lord and it turned out to be wrong. It happened a few times in seminary as I was studying some questions and some doctrines in depth for the very first time. And it's happened to me as I've been confronted with the teaching of the world. It's happened to me as I've been confronted with the doubts and the questions of others. Now, some people are able to struggle for an extended period of time like this. I, however, am not. I don't deal with it very well. And whenever I've gone through these periods where I'm questioning, I just had to have the answer. The pursuit of the truth has weighed upon me so heavily that I couldn't sleep at night. All I could do was research and study and try to find the answer. And it did this, I think, because these questions honestly meant either affirming the faith to which I had held for so many years, or perhaps turning from the faith to which I had held for so long. It did this because I had to know if everything upon which I had based my entire life, my entire worldview, was true or if it was a lie. Now, as we consider these points in our lives, I think we can agree there are several things that can bring us to this point. We can begin to question or doubt as we confront various philosophical issues in life. For example, as we're confronted with the scientific explanation for the origin of the universe, we might start to question the Bible's account of creation. we might begin to question, because as we read and as we study science, we see that so many of these scholars are so very sure of themselves. They seem to tell us that what they are presenting to us is not simply a scientific theory, it's fact. And they also tell us that they have all kinds of evidence to support their theory. While, and I don't mean this to insult it, but all we have is this, right? And you know what I'm getting at. Everywhere we go, this theory is presented to us as truth. We go to national parks and we're looking at the beautiful scenery, and everywhere we go, there are these little plaques, right, that tell us about the location. And on every one of those plaques, it tells us how this valley or this mountain was created millions and millions of years ago by glaciers that passed through the region. We go to museums to look at the, you know, just the wonderful artifacts that are on display there. And everywhere we go, we read the signs that go with the exhibits. And we read how dinosaurs walked the earth millions and millions of years ago. We read how man evolved from, you know, monkey-like creatures throughout the centuries. We're taught in our science classes and in our textbooks that matter is eternal. And that the universe as we know it began with a big bang that happened millions and millions of years ago. We're told that life randomly came to exist from this matter, and that man evolved from tiny one-celled organisms over the course of the centuries. And as we're confronted with this teaching, we begin to realize that it doesn't fit with the biblical narrative. Many believers try to make it fit together. However, the more we study it, the more we try to make sense of it all, it becomes clear to us that the two teachings on this subject simply do not fit together in any way. And for this reason, we sometimes struggle. We struggle to understand who is right and who is wrong. Questions of morality can also cause us to struggle. And we're confronted with this on an almost daily basis. As divorce has become more and more common in society, and as we all have family and friends who have gone through this experience, we begin to wonder why it's wrong. We wonder why God would want to keep together two people who no longer love each other. As homosexuality is promoted in our culture, and as we have encountered and gotten to know some homosexuals for ourselves, we start wondering why this is wrong. We wonder why would God want to keep apart two people who do love each other. As it's become common practice in our society, we wonder why living together, we wonder why sex outside of marriage is sinful. After all, if you're going to enter into that big of a commitment with someone, it seems that you'd want to do all you could to make sure that you're compatible for the long haul, to make sure that it's going to work. And oftentimes, it's not just the moral questions that cause us to struggle, but it's the moral temptations. We're strongly tempted to engage in a sinful behavior, a behavior that's described as sinful in Scripture. And that desire is so strong, in fact, that we are tempted, to do as we please, even if it means making a shipwreck of the faith to which we have held for so long. Other times, our struggle, our questions are of a theological or of a doctrinal nature. We might wonder if our God is the true God, and we wonder this especially as we look at all the different religions that fill our world today. We wonder if Jesus is truly the only way of salvation. We wonder if the gods worshipped by people of other faiths are the same as the God that we worship. With all of the evil in the world, we wonder if God is truly good. We wonder if he is truly all-powerful. We wonder if he is truly working for our blessing. And we could go on and on with the examples, but I think you get the point. And I also think that most of you could probably add a great deal to this list as you think about the struggles you have faced, the questions that you have faced over the course of the years. And it's in the face of these questions and doubts that our lesson for this morning speaks to us. And so let's look at that again real quick. In Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And so the obvious thing that we see here in this passage is that we are called upon to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Again, this is nothing new to most of us. We know that with all of our being, we are called upon to believe in Him and to believe in the Word that He has given to us. However, when the rubber hits the road, we know that having that level of trust in the Lord, maintaining that level of trust in the Lord, it's not as easy as it seems. One of the biggest mistakes we make in life is the very thing we are warned against in that passage. We lean upon our own understanding. We depend upon our understanding. We rely upon our understanding above all else. We trust in our understanding even more than we trust in the Lord. And we do this because if we are to believe in something, if we are going to hold to something as true, we think that we should be able to make sense of it. We trust in ourselves, we trust in our own understanding because we believe ourselves to be intelligent people, right? We don't believe ourselves to be stupid. And so we proudly think that we're smart enough to figure out the truth and to understand the truth on our own. Now, when I see this, I'm not trying to call our intelligence into question. The problem with this, the problem with leaning on our own understanding is the simple fact that we are sinful. And it's not only a part of us that's sinful, every part of our being has been corrupted by sin. We have a sinful heart. We have a sinful mind. And we see this described for us all throughout Scripture. For example, in Jeremiah 17:9, we read this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And a very vivid description of our being can be found in Ecclesiastes 9:3, which says, "The hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Now, most of us, as we think about ourselves and as we reflect upon the state of our heart, we don't think of it as desperately evil, do we? Even if we acknowledge that it's sinful, even if we acknowledge that we make mistakes, those two words, desperately sick, almost seem to go too far for us. But that's what God says about our state. We also don't tend to think of ourselves as evil. We think of people like Hitler as evil, but certainly not ourselves. And none of us would believe that madness fills our heart. Again, we think of ourselves as intelligent people. We think of ourselves as basically good people. We think of ourselves as basically moral people. And we think of ourselves as perfectly sane people with a clear mind. We fail to realize that as a sinful people, we simply don't think like God. As a sinful people, we don't share His mind, nor do we share His heart. Our natural tendency is not to follow God. Our natural tendency is not to obey Him, but to violate His will for our life. We naturally gravitate toward a way of thinking that opposes the truth that He has revealed to us. And this is why in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul tells us that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The message of the gospel, it simply does not make sense to those who are not saved. It's not something that they can rationalize. It's not something that they can comprehend. And this is also why he goes on to say that left to ourselves, we cannot understand the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So this, you see, is our state. We are sinful. We are wicked. We are evil. We are mad. We are not able to understand the truth that God has revealed to the world apart from His Spirit working in our hearts. And for this reason, we must not lean on our own understanding. The simple fact of the matter is that we are not as knowledgeable as we believe ourselves to be. We are not as moral as we believe ourselves to be. And we're not as sane as we believe ourselves to be. We're simply not the rational and sensible people that we imagine ourselves to be. No matter how much sense our thinking may seem to us, this doesn't mean that we have a handle on the truth. No matter how high our IQ, it does not mean that we're able to understand all truth. And just because we can't understand something, just because we are struggling with something, doesn't make it untrue. As our lesson for this morning tells us, we must not be wise in our own eyes. And again, I'm not trying to say that we should believe ourselves to be dumb, but we must understand our limitations. And that's the key point there. We are very limited in our scope. We must understand our place in relation to God, and we must understand God's place in relation to us. We must understand that God is good while we are not. We must understand that God is perfect while we are not. We must understand that God is righteous while we are not. We must understand that God is all-knowing while we are not. We must understand that God is the creator while we are the creation. And with this being the case, it simply doesn't make sense that we would place our own understanding ahead of His. Think of it in this way. Most of us, we generally trust our doctors, don't we? And the reason we go to them is because they have an education, they have a knowledge base, they have an experience that you and I simply do not possess. They have an understanding of the human body, they have an understanding of medicine that we do not have. And for this reason, even though, yes, it's good for us to learn about our own body, and even though it's good for us to learn about our health problems, and even though it's even good for us to research treatments for our health problems, it doesn't make sense for us to trust our own evaluation ahead of our doctors, does it? Now, yes, of course, they are human. They can make mistakes. But again, the fact remains that they have an understanding of these things, a greater understanding of these things than the rest of us. In the same way, most of us consult a lawyer when it comes to legal affairs, and we do so because we understand our lack of knowledge when it comes to the law. And we also understand that they study this. And they not only studied it while they're in school, they study it on an ongoing basis so that they can be knowledgeable about the law, so that they can help us with our legal issues. Many of us, we consult tax professionals when tax season rolls around. And we do so because the laws surrounding our tax code, they're ever changing. Every year there are so many additions to the tax code. And unless you are constantly up on it, you just don't know what you're doing. And so we hire someone who does keep up on it, who studies it on a regular basis, and we do so that we won't get in trouble because of our ignorance. And if these things are true of people, this is even more true when it comes to God. It's even more true because God is all-knowing. It's even more true because God does not make mistakes. It's even more true because everything that God declares to us is right, and it's just, and it's truthful. And for this reason, it's very much of us to believe that we know better than God. Instead of being wise in our own eyes, we must be humble. As we read in verse 7 of our lesson for this morning, we must fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And what this is telling us is that we must live lives of ongoing repentance and faith in the Lord. We're called upon in this passage to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Now, this doesn't mean that we simply offer to Him lip service. It doesn't mean that you give Him a wave or nod your head at Him as you drive by like we do to everybody else in town. This means that we recognize Him, that we know Him, that we understand Him. It means that we accept what He has declared as truth. It means that we concede to Him in these areas where we are experiencing questions or doubt. It means that we apply to all of our lives everything that the Lord has declared to us. Now, this too is an area where many of us tend to struggle. We don't want to accept God's word as truth simply because it comes from Him. We don't want to concede to the Lord simply because He is God. We only want to accept His truth if we agree with it. We only want to recognize it as truth if we accept it. And we fail to recognize that when we do this, when we think in this way, we make ourselves the judge of God. We fail to realize that when we do this, we are setting ourselves above God. We arrogantly believe that we know better than Him. We proudly believe that we have a better understanding of righteousness and justice and holiness than God. Now, I know that most people, if we presented it to them in this way, they would deny it. They would deny that they are setting themselves over the Lord. They would simply deny the truth of Scripture, as so many professing Christians and churches are doing today. They would say that the Bible was written by man and that for this reason we can't fully trust it. So they deny what the apostles tell us. They don't believe, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, that Scripture was breathed out by God, that it was spoken by the very mouth of God. They don't believe, as we read in 2 Peter 1, that those who wrote the words of Scripture spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that God's perfection and that God's power are over to come our imperfection or our weakness. The funny thing about this is that they don't believe the Bible because it was written by man, but yet at the same time, they are placing their trust in man. They don't trust in the men that God used to pen the words of Scripture, but they sure trust in themselves. They sure trust in their own judgment. They sure trust in others who deny the truth of the Bible. You see, we must receive God's word for what it is. We must receive God's word as God's word. We must understand that because it comes from God, it is truth. And we must accept it as such, whether we are comfortable with it or not. We must accept it as truth, whether we can understand it or not. And as we do so, we receive some wonderful promises from God, and we see them again in our lesson for today. We are told in our passage for this morning that if we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, He will make our paths straight. In other words, He will make it clear to us how we are to live. He will make it clear to us what we are to believe. He will make plain to us the path He has before us. He will direct us to the right course of action, and He will remove hindrances out of our way. And isn't that what all of us want? We all say that we want God to make His path for us clear. We all say that we want God to reveal to us what it is that we're to do. We say that we want God to show us His truth. And all of this starts by acknowledging Him in all of our ways. We're also told that if we are not wise in our own eyes, but fear the Lord, it will be healing to the flesh and refreshment to our bones. Now, this does not mean that we're going to be free from sickness or physical problems in life. The word translated bones in this passage can also refer to our very substance, to our very self. And so the idea here is that our whole self, our whole substance will find healing. Through the Lord, we will be free from sin and death and restored to a right relationship with Him. Through the Lord, we will find healing. Wholeness. Through the Lord, we will find well-being. And so again, the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: how do we handle the confusion? How do we handle the questions that we face in life? How do we handle the struggles? How do we handle the doubts that plague us from time to time? Do we truly trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Or do we instead trust in our own wisdom and in our own understanding? And so once again, if we have been trusting in our own understanding and insight, we must repent. We must acknowledge that God's word, that his judgment is true. And even if we can't understand all of his truth that he has given to us, even if we can't make sense of everything that he has revealed to us, we must acknowledge that God knows better than we do. We must acknowledge the fact that he is God while we are not, and we must accept his truth for what it is. Now, when I say this, I don't mean that we just mindlessly accept everything that we read. I think it's good for us to thoughtfully read the Bible. I think it's good for us to thoughtfully study the Bible. It's good for us to seek understanding in those areas where we are struggling. But we must never think that our understanding and judgment is higher than that of God, and we must never place our understanding and our judgment above that of God. So as we're called in this passage, let's trust in God, right? Let's trust in him with all of our heart. Let's have confidence in the promise that he's given to us. Let's trust in him. Let's acknowledge him, knowing and believing that he will make our path straight. Let's acknowledge our lack of wisdom. Let's fear the Lord. Let's turn away from evil, knowing that in so doing, it means healing and restoration for our souls. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for making us. We thank you for saving us. And Lord, we thank you for revealing to us your truth. And Lord, as we contemplate this passage today, I think we all have to confess that at times, Lord, we do place our understanding ahead of your own. We place our wisdom ahead of your own. We place our judgment ahead of your own. And for this, we pray that you would forgive us. We pray that you would have mercy upon us. We pray that you would work in us and that you would change our heart so that, Lord, we look to you, that we cling to your truth, whether we understand it or not, that we acknowledge that everything that you have revealed to us is right. And help us, Lord, to believe the truths that you have revealed to us, and help us, Lord, to guide our very lives according to your word. So work in our hearts, Lord. Draw us to a spirit of daily repentance, and help us to trust in you more and more each and every day that we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.